17th, 2024, City Council meeting to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister?
Here.
Mr. Foley? Mr. Gephardt? Mr. Howe?
Here.
Mr. Lattiser? Mr. McElroy?
Here.
Mr. Ricks?
Here.
Mr. Sinapi?
Here.
Ms. Travis?
Here.
Nine present.
Thank you. Councilwoman Travis, will you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bomb bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Good evening again. First up this evening is general communications. This is announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events. Again, I just want to make sure that the residents of Warwick are aware of our code red notification system. This will update you on parking bans, state of emergencies, school closures, etc. So you can go on the Warwick website to sign up to get those notifications. And also, again, there'll be you'll see them at numerous community events over the next few months, but you can go right on the website. There is heating assistance and utility assistance available to residents of Warwick through the City of Warwick and West Bay Community Action. Again, please visit the website if you are looking for assistance paying your bills this winter. So it's very important. We see what the weather has been like this week. So heating assistance and utility assistance is available to residents of Warwick. Please visit our website for both the code red notification system and utility assistance and heating assistance. Are there any other informational things under general communications from members of the City Council? Councilman Howe.
Mr. President, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to mention this. A good supporter of yours, a good friend of ours, Dan O'Toole. His mother passed away last week, right at before the new year. And I was going to request a moment of silence for Mrs. O'Toole.
And thank you very much, Councilman Howe. And I do have a resolution of condolences for Mr. O'Toole. So thank you for mentioning that. And we will have a moment of silence for Mrs. O'Toole. Thank you. Anything else under general communications for members of the council? Okay, next up is executive communications. There are none. A is the acceptance of minutes from the council meeting held on January 3rd, 2024. Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley and Councilman Gephardt and Councilman Lattiser. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Next up this evening is public comment. Again, I just want to do one last call in case anybody's here. Okay. Rule 41, after general communications and prior to the consent calendar, at the last regularly scheduled meeting of the City Council, each month there shall be a period of time not to exceed 30 minutes during which citizens may comment about Warwick City government issues, subject to the following stipulations. The total period of time for public comment shall not exceed 30 minutes. Comments need to be brief in order to allow as many citizens as possible to participate. Each citizen signed up and present shall have not to exceed 5 minutes to speak, provided, however, that if more than six citizens are signed up and present, the 30 minutes will be split evenly among speakers. Time shall not be transferable among speakers. The topics for comment shall be issues directly affecting city government. City council members will not respond to questions during public comment period. The public comment session will terminate at the expiration of the earlier of all speakers concluding their allotted time or 30 minutes. Waiver of this provision requires a unanimous vote of the council. So we have five individuals set to speak. So each individual will have 5 minutes. The first speaker this evening is Rob C.
Rob Cody, Ward 7. So I just wanted to let everybody know, remind everybody tonight, 6 months to the day that Councilwoman Travis violated my First Amendment. And I wanted to remind you of the oath of office that you all raised your right hand and took when you were elected. And this is what it says. It says, you, being by the free vote of the electors of the state of Rhode Island, elected unto the place of city council, do solemnly swear to be true and faithful unto the state and to support the Constitution of this state and of the United States, that you will faithfully and impartially discharge all of your duties of the aforesaid office to the best of your abilities according to law, so help you God. Well, Ms. Travis violated that. But more outrageous is the fact that this city council and this city charter has no method of admonishment, no procedure of admonishment, punishment, dismissal, or discharge, or removal. So what does this mean? It's not worth the paper it's written on. It's meaningless. You can do anything you want to any resident. Doesn't matter. No recourse. What should be happening, because this isn't going away, just so you know, and the longer it lasts, the worse it's going to get. But every council member should be docketing a resolution that everyone should sign that you need to institute an admonishment and a dismissal procedure when this happens. Other, if you don't, it's meaningless. You can do anything you want to any resident. Who cares? And that's what we've come to. It's your responsibility to do that. You swore an oath of office, and we haven't heard a word from the city council or the attorneys, four of them, by the way, on the council. No apologies, no remorse, nothing. So it's accepted. The other thing I wanted to say was, since we're on the subject of spending enormous amounts of money on GPS, we had another week where I documented the waste, fraud, and abuse of the DPW, driving aimlessly through the city, performing no work, 45-minute lunch breaks, then taking an hour and driving 24 miles randomly through the city, another guy hiding out behind the Boys and Girls Club. I mean, how many more do I have to document? All right? But no one on this council's got the guts to employ GPS or to make a motion to put GPS in these vehicles, but you want to put state-of-the-art GPS on two Quahog skiffs that don't leave Warwick Cove. Why? Why don't we have GPS on these vehicles? Are you guys afraid that the unions might come after you because you're finally going to have some accountability and traceability? It happens every day. And what's really disturbing to me is when little Cindy Lou comes before this council that hit a pothole and she needs $120, and you guys spend an hour and a half shooting her down because, well, we're not going to pay the $120. And what do we usually hear? Well, we didn't know the pothole was there. You didn't know. You got 100 DPW vehicles on the road 5 days a week. No GPS. There should not be a pothole or speck of stone that no one doesn't know about. But we're not going to put GPS in because then we'll really know and we'll be able to quantify how the taxpayer is getting screwed. So this points to two things, these videos. I'll have more for you next week. It points to two things. Either we are completely overstaffed and there's no work to be done, so these guys just got orders to just drive around and hide out. Or you've got such an incompetent level of management that no one gives a damn because nothing's being done. Couple months ago, W41, the dump truck, 3 hours at the boat ramp in Oakland Beach in Ward 6, doing nothing. 3 hours with the engine running, violating the Diesel Idling Act of the state of Rhode Island. Nobody did anything. When is this council going to demand that these vehicles that we pay for have GPS installed in them and we can trace the work of these workers? How about last week I videotaped a backhoe? A backhoe leaves where he's working to drive back to the city yard to have lunch and then drives back to where he works. You guys need to read the contracts.
It allows
for one 15-minute rest period for 4 hours. That means you stop work, you eat your lunch, you go back to work. You don't leave at 8:45, drive halfway across the city, go to the coffee shop, stay there for 25 minutes, and then drive back. It allows one 30-minute lunch break. That means you stop work, eat your lunch, go back to work. You don't drive to the Han Palace, get there at 10 or 12 and stay there till 12:40 and then drive 24 miles through the city and not do work. Is that what the taxpayers are paying for? You guys are the policing authority of our money, and you're not doing anything
Time
about
up,
it,
Mr.
and you
Cody.
Need to do something about it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker is David P.
Hi, Council President. I live at 31 Shepherd Drive in Warwick. My name is Dave Perry. I live at 31 Shepherd Drive in Warwick. And every year when it snows, they plow all of Shepherd Drive in front of my driveway at the end of the street. And I have a double driveway, and it's 4 feet high, 6 feet high. And there's no way I can dig that out. I'm 64 years old now, and I can't do it anymore. There's no way an oil man can park his truck in front of my driveway and deliver oil, because he can't get past the snow that's pushed up against my trailer at the end of the street. And the neighbor next door, his lot was measured by me. It's supposed to be 100.8 inches. It measured out to 101 half inches, which is all right. But when it gets out to the road, it surpasses that amount. He's got more property than what he's supposed to have. And what happened was, in 1971, when the house was built, they put two loads of loom in the front yard, and it rained for 2 days, and it drained down in front of my driveway, 3 feet in front of my driveway, and 12 feet out in the road. And the Department of Public Works came by and put a curb anywhere they wanted to. And that's not right. I was 12 years old, and I was a witness to it. And I told the two guys I was working, I said, you're doing it wrong. You're not supposed to be doing that. You know what he told me? Shut up and mind your business. So I told my father that night. He told me almost the same thing. He says, just be quiet and leave the guys alone. Let them do their job. My father was a softy. Well, when my mother backs out of the driveway, she used to hit the curb in order to get out of the driveway. We have to back in and out of our driveway or drive in on an angle because there's no other way in. And I got trailers, and I have to back straight up to the trailer. Otherwise, I'll do damage to my truck or trailer. And the road is on an angle, so I can't back up straight. It has to be taken away from it was put on a road. So it's going to be taken 12 feet off the road, and the curb's going to go back 12 feet from the road and 3 feet right in front of my driveway. And I can be able to back up and get my trailers in and out. Right now, they're in violation of my civil rights under the Freedom of Enterprise Act law. I have the right to go out and make money, but I can't get my trailers in and out of the yard without doing damage to them. Or I can't get it out, period, because there's snow out in the road and I can't get to it. I want something done, Council President. They have to remove the property. They're like 12 feet out. They built
two houses. You have 1 minute.
They built two houses, one at 1 2-hour drive, and I think the one beside it. I just don't know the proper address, but it's 12 feet out into the road. It's got to be removed 12 feet back. So we have proper access. I fell twice over that curb, and I hurt myself. And the mayor doesn't want to hear nothing about it. He says he saw what's going to be done, and he's not doing nothing about it. I asked him why. He just says he doesn't want to do nothing about it. And that's against the law. What he's doing is a crime. Because he's not doing his job and he's getting paid for it. By not doing his job, he's receiving money under false pretenses, and that's a crime in the state of Rhode Island. And also under the RICO Act. Thank you, Your Honor, Council President.
Thank you, sir. The next speaker this evening is Daniel D.
Hi, yes, sir. I live in I live in Lakewood. And this is basically we're spending $8 million on an ice rink that's actually closer to the south side of Main Street on East Greenwich than it is to my neighborhood. Lakewood, we don't really have much going on for us. We have a broken down playground with one swing. I don't know where the other swing went to. And, you know, we need help with the field. I think it's Klitzer Field. We used to call it the pit. And it shouldn't be us trying to fight with Norwood or Pilgrim to get it. This is something that the entire city uses, or at least Warwick North. They come down there, and it seems like everybody else is getting playgrounds, and, you know, we're not. You know, this is like $8 million, and I'm just asking that, you know, aside from the funds that we're supposed to be getting, the ARPA funds, if we can get something, you know, done there, because, again, it's not just Lakewood that uses it. It's, you know, pretty much all of Warwick North that uses it, which is a couple of neighborhoods, because we're hurting there. And, you know, it's like we have to go to Roger Williams Park to get, that's the closest thing in Warwick that we have anything to get to, because, you know, Patuxent is kind of limited, you know, parking and stuff like that. And we're just asking that the city help us. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. The next speaker this evening is Richard L.
Richard Langsith, Budlong Farm, and I circulated a email to you folks last night regarding the airport and the MOU. I was at the airport meeting Thursday, and Bill Fisher, who used to be their PR guy and is a $10,000 a month lobbyist for Amazon, that's $120,000 a year, went into their executive session where they were discussing litigation. Now, he's not a lawyer. And in fact, the lawyer for the RIAC was out with me. He was going to speak about Westerly Airport in Block Island. So anyway, I was quite appalled by this, and I filed a complaint with the Attorney General. So the result is, I do believe that an MOU that you folks might get from the mayor really should consider the fact that it was passed by RIAC in an executive session, which is under a challenge. So I would encourage you to delay until the Attorney General resolves this issue. In addition, I talked about TEFRA. TEFRA is a federal IRS law that requires a public process when you finance something like an airport. And I have quite a long petition before the Commerce Corporation, which I filed yesterday. And it explains many instances of the Commerce Corporation not following TEFRA. Now when it comes to RIAC and their plan to build the South Cargo facility, they're going to have to get a bond for this. They're going to have to finance it. And I'm demanding that a hearing be held before they make any decisions. And I would ask the city to support this effort. I think it's really important to have a public process when you're doing things like building private facilities on airports in Warwick. And it's of great concern to the city as well as everybody else, because we just need to follow the law, you know. If the feds say you have a hearing, then have the hearing. Now, it's kind of hard for me to do this on my own. I'm trying, and I very well may succeed. But if you folks could help in any way, it would be much appreciated. On a little bit of a difficult matter, I asked for the original MOU that RIAC sent to the mayor. I asked for it under an APRA request, and I was denied the access to this. They were claiming that it's a city document, apparently. It's a working document, they say. However, the city has rejected it. They say that they're not interested in the first MOU document. They want the second one. So I appealed to the mayor, and I got an answer back today. No, it's a working document. You can't have it. So then again, I filed another complaint before the Attorney General about the first MOU. Now, I understand that many people have seen this MOU, the press, a lot of other people, but here I am not getting it, and here I am the only person who will actually file motions, who will actually go to court if I have to make sure the process is done correctly. So I just wanted to bring you folks up to speed. I don't hate the airport. I don't like filing petitions. It's a lot of time and effort on my part, but somebody has to do it. So here he is. And I thank you for your time. And please read the petition that I gave you a link to. I think it's very informative. It brings you up to speed on TEFRA. What happened when I was at the airport, I presented it to the airport board. And the chairman of the board, John Savage, said, I don't know anything about TEFRA. What is this TEFRA?
You have 30 seconds, Mr. Lang.
Thank you. And so, you know, if you can, get informed, because this is really important. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. The next speaker this evening is Mike Z.
Before I start, if I could just ask the clerk how much time I have in total, please.
5 minutes.
Thank you. Good evening, members of the City Council, everybody's here tonight. My name is Mike Zarum. I live in Ward 2, for those who don't know me. I just want to make some comments tonight on something that's on the agenda that was held until March 4th. And that was PCR 131-23, resolution dedicating Barton Farms as a municipal public trust. I did have some comments prepared for Public Properties Committee and everything, and I did not present those comments because it was that PCR was held. At this time, I just want to thank the people on Public Properties Committee and Mr. Sinapi for speaking with me before tonight's meeting about the best way to reach the goals for Barton Farm. One of those goals is to continue to having agriculture there for the community. And one of the things I want to mention is that the state law on putting things in public trust is a good, quick blanket if the parcel matches what's in the state law. It also gives control of those restrictions to the state, where they could be retained by the city. Now, we just went through a whole rezoning process where the state mandated what they want. And I just want to express my concern for Barton Farm that some of the current activities up there that involve community farming are not mentioned at all under the public trust document. It doesn't mention anywhere in there that that's allowed. It does mention that it'll be conserved for open space, recreational use, and things like that. I know myself as a member of the Land Trust, also formerly being on the Greater Boston Real Estate Board, that there are many, many ways to get what you want as far as conservation goes, but allowing certain land uses. And there are two things we have to keep in mind. One is restrictions for the land itself. The other is to both restrict and allow certain specific uses, such as farming, which, again, the state law doesn't mention at all. So with that, I've reached out. I'm looking at several other role models through New England where they've conserved land like this, but they've also preserved it for community-based agriculture and farming. And I want to look what their legal language is. And once I get that, I hope to compare the current deed for Barton Farm to what these other communities have successfully done. And then we can compare that to putting another public trust and then decide which is the best route to go from there. And I truly think that's the best way to go. I still have a little bit of time. I want to pick up on what Mr. Langseth said about the airport. One of the biggest problems with the airport is that many, many years ago, the FAA and all of its consultants sold a false bill of goods to Congress when they came out with their noise metrics, when they came out with their air toxic metrics. Congress bought it, and with that, they passed things like the Airport Noise and Capacity Act and a lot of other legislative measures at the federal level that make it very, very difficult for municipalities like the city of Warwick and municipalities all across the country. The one thing I want to mention here before my time is up is that certain people at the Rhode Island Airport Corporation keep mentioning that certain zoning laws in the city don't apply, when all the advisements I've gotten over the last 10 years from some pretty high-level attorneys that specialize in that body of law, that Warwick zoning does apply to Rhode Island Airport Corporation, particularly the state of Rhode Island, which is separate from RIAC since the state of Rhode Island owns that land. Most of that land is not owned by the federal government. It's owned by the state of Rhode Island. And also with that, the planning process, the master plan process, I believe applies. Now the airport has told Mr. Howe and the mayor something different, but I actually have documents at home. They're FAA documents on their policy that specify where local zoning applies and where it doesn't. Thank you. I just want everybody to keep in mind that, personally, don't believe anything Rhode Island Airport Corporation says to the city. Go out and fact check it yourself, which I think the mayor has done a good job of, and continue from there and continue to advocate for the people who live in this community. There's a lot more that we'll be able to do for the people that live on Strawberry Field West, and those will be brought to light over the next couple of months. Thank you for allowing me to comment, and Happy New Year, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay, next up on the agenda is item number one, the consent calendar, PCR 8-24, committee report, finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Go ahead, Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Bid 2024-306, bid 2024-332, 2024-292, 2024-338, 2024-304, 2024-019, correction, 2024-091, 2024-3372, 2024-286, 2023-021, 2024-309. That concludes the bid package, Mr. President.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments on the bid package that were not asked earlier this evening in the Finance Committee? Okay, it's been moved and second. The clerk will call the roll for favorable action. Yes.
Mr. Foley. Yes. Mr. Gephardt. Mr. Howe.
Here, yes.
Mr. Lattisa.
Yes.
Mr. McElroy.
Yes.
Mr. Ricks.
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi. Ms. Travis. Nine yes, consent passes.
Thank you, consent passes. Councilman Howe, I believe one item has been removed from the consent calendar.
Yes, Mr. President, bid 2024-311, purchase installation of electronic equipment for the Harbor Master boats is now PCR 9-24, favorable action as amended.
With an amendment.
Okay. With an amendment.
So what was the recommendation of the committee?
Favorable action with amendment.
Okay, and we'll get a second for that. Second by Councilman Foley. Councilman Howe, go ahead.
Upon discussion, respectfully request to hold the item for 1 month.
Okay, so you reported that what the committee had make a recommendation, but now you are changing the recommendation. You are recommending that we hold this.
Yes, Mr. President. Month.
Okay, we'll take that as a motion. Do we have a second? Second by Councilman Foley. Okay, any question? Second by Council or question? Oh, okay. Any questions or comments on the motion to hold? Councilman Lavender.
Thank you, Mr. President. So the motion to hold, I have a concern with it. I don't disagree with it in its entirety, but my concern is you're holding for 1 month. And I would anticipate the reason for doing so is for the administration to perhaps come back to us with some different explanations or sorts. Here's where my concern lies. If this council does not agree with those changes, if there are any changes, is the council or the administration going to say, well, here we are, we're at the end of February, and it's too late to put this out for a rebid. So we've got to go with what we have. It was mentioned earlier about changing or going back, or the reason for not going back to rebid this, which we've done in the past, by the way, is because the bids are already out. Well, that's not completely accurate. If these items that have been identified as overkill, if you will, items that are not specific, do have very large variables involved between the equipment and the cost, et cetera. If those items, which are more than a half a dozen of them, are re-specified, that would automatically change the prices and automatically create a whole new bid. So this isn't, oh, we can't do this because the bids are already out and it's not legal and it's all of this stuff. You know what? That's kind of like selective reasons, because we've done it numerous times just recently. We said, we need to add bidders, vendors onto the list that haven't bid. Well, I was very vocal about doing that. And it's okay to go ahead and put vendors on a bid that didn't bid in the first place and know what everybody else's bids are. That's okay. If this were done, and these items that are overkill or unnecessary or have a great degree of variance and cost, by the way, could potentially be several thousands of dollars, that changes the bid. It's a brand new day. It's a whole new bid. So I don't buy that you can't do it. There's a difference between can't and won't. So to go back to my original point, it will be very disturbing to me, for one, I think to the people or the vendors that are being required to do all this research on their own to say it's too late. We can't go back for a rebid, because we got to get these boats in the water. Yeah, I think that perhaps bidder protest is on the horizon, but it's not because of sending this back out for a rebid. It's because of the bidder process or the bid process. So that's my concerns. Now, I don't know if anyone is going to speak to my concern about in end of February saying it's too late, we can't go back out for bid because we get the boats in the water. That's a concern. So that's what I have to say on it, Mr. President.
Thank you, Councilman. My thoughts, I do support holding this as Councilman Howe has made a motion. I'm looking for additional information from the administration. They've listed here. I think we had some good discussions from both council members and members of the public that brought up some good points. So just looking for additional information and, you know, kind of backup information that they can say the reason why we're going with this is because of this, this, and this. And I want to give them enough time to present that, and then we will take it. It'll be a brand, you know, we're holding it, but it will be a brand new discussion. And if we need to make some adjustments, we can do that at that time. So that's why I'm supporting this. Is I'm looking for additional information, backup information from the administration. That's why I would be supportive of holding this item. And when it comes back up, we open it back up, and we can have a discussion on what is brought forward at that time. So any other questions or comments? So there's a motion and a second to hold. Any other questions on that? And we'll do a roll call vote on that. So it's been moved and second to hold. And what's the date on that? February 22nd? February 26th. The clerk will call a roll for favorable action to hold to February 26th.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley? Yes. Mr. Gephardt? Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes to hold to February 26th.
Thank you. Motion to hold. That passes. Next up is unfinished business. First up is PCR 131-23, Committee Report, Public Properties.
Held to March 4th.
Motion to hold to March 4th. Next up is new business. There is none, so we're moving to unanimous consent. Ward 1, anything to docket on unanimous consent? Ward 2.
Pass.
Ward 3.
Pass.
Ward 4.
Pass.
Ward 5.
Pass.
Ward 6.
Pass.
Ward 7 passes. Ward 8. Ward 9. Councilwoman Travis.
If there be no further business of this honorable body, I move to a docket session.
All those in favor of moving to docket session, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any extensions? We are now in the docket session. Ward 1, anything to docket this evening?
Pass.
Ward 2.
Pass.
Ward 3.
Pass.
Ward 4.
Pass.
Ward 5. Ward 6. Ward 7 passes. Ward 8. Public safety. It's a resolution for a yield sign. Ward 9, anything to docket this evening? Thank you very much. We are adjourned. We'll see you soon.